I would like all who are here today to welcome you very warmly in the precious name of the Lord. And I would like to say to all of us, he that persevereth until the end, he shall be crowned. Not the one who stops at some point in the middle or shortly before the end, but he who perseveres until the end, he shall be crowned. We welcome you all very warmly. Also our brethren from Italy, we welcome you, whoever you may be, wherever you come from, God bless you. This day we arranged that we have a love feast together. I believe there is hardly a fellowship on earth which has so many sermons available as we have them. Think of the hundreds of sermons that in the course of the years were translated, that were preached, that either are available in text form or on tape. It is a large number that God has given us by His grace. Oh yes, with great thankfulness we look back to that what God has done. All who gave their contribution to it, and I hope that Brother Sieg doesn't leave now, but that he remains here. I had the impression that he and some others think to have nothing done in the kingdom of God. And this is not the case. God uses everyone on that place, in that way, as he thinks it to be right. And there is no one of us who could say, I want this or I want that. The Lord alone decides. He commissions, he calls. But one thing we may know, the completion we will experience together. And there will be not great or little. It will not be asked, have you done much or have you done little? But did you believe me? It is written, I think in the Gospel of John, in chapter 8, verse 24, if you don't believe that I am he, then you will die in your sin. Not the many doings save, but the faith in Jesus Christ, the faith in that what God has spoken and what he revealed. Today we will have a brief rear view of that what God has done, and also recap the years. You all know it were almost 20 years in which Brother Branham, since May 1946 up to December 1965, so almost 20 years, he served the Lord and did what he could to leave unto us the word, the promised word. I probably mentioned it already here and there in the recent days. Repeatedly, Brother Branham pointed to that the Lord has said to him, store in the food. You all know, at that time he wanted to come to Switzerland, and God showed him a white boat and other boats next to it, and the ocean. The white boat was determined for him, the other for his team, that wanted to accompany him. And the Lord spoke to him, "Don't travel, remain here, store in the food." Repeatedly, Brother Branham referred to this experience and mentioned that the Lord told him to no longer travel evangelistically, but doctrinally, storing in the prophetic word, to leave it behind, to take care of, that it is available when the time would have come for it. You can read it in various sermons that he spoke of it, but there is not one single place where he would have been told or where he would have said that he also shall give out the food. Of this, there's really not one single place. He only received the commission, store in the food. And I write it now in my circular letter. I take there one of his quotes. And he said, "Lord, I have done as you commanded me, and I have stored in so much food as possible." Now we come to the second point, and I hope not that somebody thinks it is personal. A commission of God and personal are two totally different things. If God speaks, if he sends, then it's not about Moses or Abraham or Isaiah or prophets and apostles. Then it is about the matter of God. And therefore, no one of the prophets ever said, "Thus saith Isaiah," or "Thus saith Elijah," or "Thus saith Moses." They all said, "Thus saith the Lord." It was the word received from God that they have passed on in the name of the Lord. If we think on the ministry of Brother Branham, and this we do today with deep gratitude, then we are glad to know that God called him in a supernatural way, that he sent him just like all prophets and apostles, that he didn't do his own work, but that he was placed into the work of God and became himself a part of that what God has done in these days. We all know that the Lord firstly gave promises and then fulfilled them. And by this, it was confirmed that God is true. He did not only speak, he has watched over his word to fulfill it at the right time. Some examples. For a very long time it was written, "A voice cries in the wilderness, prepare ye the way for the Lord. Make straight a path for our God." The word in the prophet Isaiah, chapter 40, verse 3, was written at least 800 years before it was fulfilled. When the hour of God came, an angel of the Lord appeared to Zacharias at the altar and told him, "Your wife Elizabeth will conceive and bear a son, and you shall call his name John. He will be great before the Lord, and he will walk before him and prepare him the way." You can read this in the Gospel of Luke. In the Gospel of John, yes, in all the Gospels, we find the confirmation that God's words of promise have become divine reality here on this earth. And that's what it's about. Not about pious religious philosophy about God and His Word. God has never been about that, and most certainly not today. God is about to find people on earth to whom He can reveal Himself and to whom He also can reveal His Word. The promise to John the Baptist was written in the prophet Isaiah. It was written in Malachi 3, verse 1. But suddenly, it was not only written, suddenly it became reality. It stood on 2 feet. The voice was heard. The message went forth. The people were prepared for the Lord. And the day came on which John could introduce the Lord Jesus and said, He was before me, and I am not worthy to unloose the latchet of His shoes. He said, Behold, this is the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. Beloved, that we really take it to heart and keep it forever. Let me please underline it. We have not followed cunningly devised fables. We didn't fall prey to any deception of men who lie in wait to deceive. We have, by grace, heard the true word, the infallible word of God, with all the promises, with all the prophecy for the end time, and we got it revealed by God. If this is so, say Amen. And that is the great thing, that is the important, that we not only philosophize about biblical things and express our opinions about it, but that we understand God in His speaking and subsequently in His working, and that we have part in that what He does. If now the second phase comes to it, then also this was a leading to which I and also no other could have influence. Most certainly you are all of the conviction that God is unbribable, that nobody can influence Him, that no one could suggest, you can now do this and that, or you can take this one and that one and send Him. The plan of God was purposed from eternity and comes in the course of time to its completion. We have no influence on it. However, God has an influence on us, and this through His Word and through His Holy Spirit. Thankfully, we see that Brother Branham, like all prophets and apostles, has received a biblical, a divine, a heavenly calling, that the Lord commissioned him and sent him is beyond any shadow of doubt. It was confirmed by God 1,000 times, infallible, so that all can only say yes and amen to it. Right or not, amen. So there's no doubt about it. Thankful I am to my God that He has given me the privilege to not only hear this great man of God, to not only drive with him in the same car, to not only eat with him at the same table, to not only have been in many of his meetings. I'm thankful to my God that I can have part in that what God has done through his ministry. And I believe all of us, we can say amen to it. And it was probably Brother Pesal, he said, it is not the work of a prophet or the message of a great man of God. It is the work of God. It is the divine message to the people of God, with all the promises, with the entire prophecy for this time. For this, we are grateful. For alone, through Bible prophecy, we have the direction. We know for what we are waiting for, because we can see from the Bible what God has promised, and by it we can see what he then also does. Today I want to emphasize some things without referring much to the scriptures. You all know we preach a lot, and as I said earlier, we have many sermons available by the grace of God. But in these years, great things took place. The spreading of the Word of God has reached the ends of the earth. And I would like to use this day to thank all of you in a special way with all my heart, that all this has become possible. We briefly estimated, alone in Krefeld, we have in the German and in the English language, we printed more than 1,200,000 brochures in the course of the past years. And this is a large number. At the moment, I don't have the up-to-date number of countries. Is it 118, 119, or 120 countries, which we all together, by the grace of God, could look after until now, with that what God made available for us? You all know, I myself had the opportunity to be in 93 countries personally and to minister there. And by my personal testimony, to carry the word of the Lord and to tell the people what God has done in these days. Sometimes when we as a small group are together somewhere, we get the impression that it will only be a handful of people who out of this generation will be taken up to the Lord. No, it will be many. It may be here 20 and there 200. It may be there 2,000 and there 20,000. Perhaps somewhere also only 2 or 3, as the scripture says it. God knows it. And this we don't have to decide. And we can also not influence this. But one thing I may say, if we consider Africa and Asia and would compare it, then we would have to be ashamed if we could see what God is doing there. Brother Barrier is here. He can testify of it. At one place, it's 4,000 who come. At the other, 1,500. At the third place, it could be 8,000. I think the last time in Kinshasa, the brothers said that about 8,000 people were present to hear the word of the Lord. Don't have the impression that for Brother Frank the masses are important, but have the impression that Brother Frank would be very happy if in our generation not only thousands and hundreds of thousands, if millions would come to know of that what God has done, and before the door closes forever, that many would come to believe and that they could be born into the kingdom of God. I don't belong to them who are happy if only few are saved. I belong to them who are happy about if many get saved. When the reward of our Redeemer is worthwhile, I almost used the word that it paid off, but you know how I mean it. Our Savior died on the cross of Calvary. He has given His blood and His life, and as it is written, to redeem many, it will never be all. But I would like to remind on the vision of Brother Branham, and those who are of little faith, I want to give them courage. When he was still alive and when he was transferred into paradise, he said, I saw millions. You can all read it in his testimony. I saw millions. And the question was, are they all Branhams? Where do they come from? No, these are people who through your ministry were led to Christ. And I believe that this is a continuation of the ministry. This is no arrogance. I can examine myself before God and before the people. I can read the Old and the New Testament, and with 100% sincerity, inasmuch as it is available for a man, I can just examine it, and I come to the conclusion, this is a continuation of that, what God has started earlier, and what He has done, and what He continues in our days. And here I would like, with my little testimony, I would like to say here, to those who probably have a bit doubts, because they probably are influenced, I would like to say this here, in all humility, when the Lord called me on the 2nd of April 1962, I had no idea of what would come. For me, the world was in order. Brother Branham lived, he ministered, we had correspondence with each other. From all of that time, I have still 20 or 21 letters at home. And I didn't have to worry about anything. I was and lived in the certainty that as long as this man of God is here, everything is all right. After all, the Lord has His servant and prophet. But God, in His omniscience, in His wisdom that goes beyond our understanding, has of course known everything, also that Brother Branham would be called home, and that only then the time would come in which the Word, as it was revealed, would be carried into all the world. I don't know whether Brother Branham was in 8 or 9 or altogether in 10 countries, but one thing I know, that at his time the sermons were not spread. He was invited here or invited there, and if he had to preach certain things, then this happened in his home church in Jeffersonville. He said, here I have total liberty to say everything in such a way as it was given to me by God. when he preached at a full gospel businessman or in other churches, he had enough tactfulness and was considerate to not to say everything. But he knew that all who are born of God, they will one day have the hunger to come to know of everything what God has spoken through his mouth. And thus it also came then. But on the 2nd of April, 62, on this day, I'm always reminded then, when I'm very deep down and just say, Lord, I don't want anymore. Not because I don't want, but because I cannot. And don't think the matter of preaching is easy. It is easy for a preacher in a denomination who on a Wednesday evening sends somebody from the board to the service that he holds there a speech and then only on a Sunday morning reads a sermon and may then sit down and waits until the next funeral or the next wedding comes and then is called again to celebrate a feast. This is a different thing. My life went totally different. Since 1966 in full activity. But let me finish this thought. When the Lord called out to me with a mighty voice, with a commanding voice, which I could imitate, I was able to put a comma and a full stop after the manner in which he has spoken when he called out to me, my servant, your time for this city will soon be over. I will send you to other cities to preach my word. With one blow, I fell to the left on the carpet. No man can imagine what kind of impact, what kind of authority, what an absolute, what an authority comes forth from this voice. I knew, or I thought, if the Lord speaks once more, then the world stops. As I already said, this nobody can imagine or understand what it means. When I then, after some time, came to myself, I reached firstly with the left hand to the right hand to see whether the joint was still functioning. I really thought that all the joints were pulled apart, that everything was loosened because I collapsed. And then I noticed that the joints were still together. And when I then slowly arose and then again looked to the window, I said the words, Lord, they will not hear me. They have everything in plenty and live on the fat of the land. Actually, it's not the way I speak, but that is how I said it. And that's how I have to repeat it truthfully and faithfully. And I tell you, I hardly finished speaking, then the same voice sounded again. My servant, the time comes when they will hear you. A great famine is coming. Store in food, for then you shall stand amidst of the people to give out the food, and the Lord is my witness. I think Brother Rus is here today. I will call him later on, also Brother Barrier, and maybe some others. But all who experienced this, they know. When I then, on this Wednesday evening, reported of this and said, what the Lord has spoken, and we have put earthy food in store down in the basement. Oil, flour, potatoes, everything we nicely stored in. And nothing came, nothing happened. But in me was such a trouble. I said, Lord, you have spoken and nothing happens. I was so in desperation. You don't know and you cannot have a say what desperation is. No one of you knows what desperation is. You think you were desperate. I don't believe you. Desperation is a condition that one cannot describe with words anymore. But right in this condition, I needed an answer from God. And I said, Lord, I can't anymore. I cannot go to the service anymore. I cannot stand in front of your people anymore. It doesn't work. And at that time, a journey into the USA was really half of a fortune. A brother Frank could not afford this. And I tell you, there came a brother. He gave me exactly 1,200 Dutch gulden. And back then, the gulden was higher than the Deutschmark. And then I asked in the travel agency what the flight would cost. And whether you believe me or not, it was the return flight to speak with Brother Branham. I am thankful for it. Very thankful that this brother came to me. And I even said, what shall I do with the Dutch money? And he said, if you don't know it today, maybe you know tomorrow. And really, the next day I really knew. And thus are the ways of God. And it was on the 3rd of December, 1962, when together with four brothers, we were sitting together, Brother Woods, Brother Southman, Brother Branham, and Brother Frank. And I said it here and there. Patience is also one of my problems. And I listened how Brother Branham spoke about German prisoners of war and this and that. I was not interested in this at all. I just lost my patience and I said, Brother Branham, I would like to ask you something. And that's how far I came and not further. We sat opposite each other. His hand went a bit up and he said, Brother Frank, may I tell you what the Lord spoke to you? And then he repeated word by word, sentence by sentence. And then came a little pause, and he said, Brother Frank, you misunderstood what the Lord said. You were thinking an earthy famine would come, and you stored in earthy food. Then he continued and said, God will send a hunger for his word, and the food that shall be stored in is the promised and revealed word of God for this time. Again, a little pause. And he said, wait with the giving out until you received the rest of the food that belongs to it. And so the years passed by, and my beloved brother Werner Sieg, I understand you. The best of all. What it means to have inwardly the certainty, to feel the fire, to serve the Lord and seeing no opportunity to do so. I understand you, if no one else understands you. The years 62, 63, 64 were years which I don't want to experience once again. How often I wept bitterly while working on the streets where I was. No man can imagine this. Hear the urge to serve the Lord, to preach His word. It sounded in my heart. I will send you from city to city to preach my word. And I didn't go from city to city, but I stayed in the city doing an earthy job. But when then the time came, and the time comes also for you, the time comes for everyone whom God ordained for a task. And you all see, God can give promises, as with Abraham, and then 25 years pass by, and these 25 years are like half of an eternity for him who waits for something special. But the time comes, and the time came also there. I will never forget the 11th of April, 1966, in all my life. This was the day of the actual burial of Brother Branham. They expected many things. They hoped for some kind of things, and it was not fulfilled. Easter Sunday was probably the 10th, and 3,000 people were singing "Only Believe, Only Believe." I didn't sing one single time. I think the chorus was sung at least 100 times on the cemetery. I only wept. I wept bitterly, because I knew here the one is laid to the grave whom God blessed in such an extraordinary way, and whose word he confirmed. And when I then really, in the first row, you know, sometimes I can push myself forward. There, for instance, I did it. And I stood in the first row, and I watched how the coffin went down, and I watched how it touched the ground. And you can imagine how torn I was in my heart. For me, a whole world collapsed. I just mention these things to let you know the following: that God takes his servants, but the word that was given unto us, this is left behind for us. On the same evening, a deep peace came into my heart, and it began to speak in my heart. Now the time of giving out has come. The first thing what I did after I returned was I resigned at work. And I knew that I have to start to carry the word and to give out the divine food. Also for this, the Lord, as I said earlier, took care for it. I didn't invent the stories afterwards. No. Long before, God, in his omniscience, in his wisdom, he took care for everything. And as far as I can overlook this, I think that we carried on the divine message in such a pure way as it was delivered and left unto us. So pure, we carried it on, without interpreting, without this or that, adding to it or taking away from it. And also this is a grace from God. This is not our merit, for as a man, everyone likes to make a good atmosphere and likes to see something for what we are waiting for. But let us wait patiently for the hour of God. It's worth it to wait for that what God promised. Not to bring forth an Ishmael, but to wait until the promise finds its fulfillment. And so I may say, out of full conviction, that we, with that what is now happening in the kingdom of God, that we are really the continuation of that what God has started. Do we all believe that the Lord in the days of Reformation made a new beginning? Do we all believe it? 100%. Do we believe that he then continued by the various revivals, which went always deeper and deeper? If we look back today, so we see that God used various men at various times for different tasks and sent them. Now we of course come to the end, and because it is a prophetic age, God did not take a reformer who reads and reads and studies and studies and speculates and speculates. And I don't know whether you read it, but Martin Luther didn't want to take the book of Revelation into the Bible at all. He read it and read it again and put it aside. And he said, who can do something with this? But the time was just not there. And nevertheless, all these men were great men of God who walked in the light that God has given to them at their time. Today we live in a different time, in another day, in a prophetic time, in a time in which the plan of salvation will experience its climax and its completion. That what God has done, this He will bring to the completion, and this in our days. Now we don't look anymore for a great man of God. Now we are looking for the great God who confirms that what all the men of God promised in His name for our time and brings to fulfillment. It will happen, of course, in the whole bright church. It will not be a show of a man, but the overall church will have part in that what God will do. For as it was at the beginning, it must also be at the end. And God says, I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh, upon sons and daughters, upon servants and maids, not only on ministering brethren, upon all flesh, upon all children of God. We could also read today all the corresponding scriptures. For my sake, Acts chapter 3, 20 and 21, where it is written that the Lord will send times of refreshing and that He can send Jesus, whom the heaven must receive until the times of restoration of all things has come, as God declared it through the mouth of His servants and prophets. We are so grateful that not only at the beginning of the New Testament, but also now at the end, Bible prophecy is being fulfilled before us. And it could be that somebody else gets angry, but this doesn't matter. Some receive, the others reject. Some are offended, and the others rejoice with a deep and heartfelt joy because they were counted worthy to understand the scripture and to get an insight into the plan of salvation of our God. Because just tell me, who are we, the least on God's earth? And right us, God has given grace to recognize Him and His Word. I mentioned it already. John was a promised prophet. And therefore, our Lord said in the Gospel of Matthew, in chapter 11, probably in verse 10, He was more than a prophet, not more than a man, but more than a prophet. All prophets prophesied until John. And from that time on, the bridge was made from the Old to the New Testament, from the prophecy to its fulfillment. And He was the one who could say, He is in our midst. So, John himself was already the fulfillment of Bible prophecy, because to him You can read it. Matthew chapter 11, verse 11. There the Lord says, to him applies the word, behold, I send my messenger before thee. Read in Mark chapter 1, from verse 1 to 3. There it is written, the beginning of the gospel of the Son of God is as follows. And as first, two scriptures are listed, namely the scripture from the prophet Isaiah chapter 40 and the scripture from Malachi chapter 3. What do we want to say with it? The men of God at the beginning of the New Testament have everything what went on in the kingdom of God. They put it upon the prophetic foundation. They gave proof. Here is the promise. Here is the fulfillment. We could go to Acts chapter 1. Yes, we could read from A to Z. And everywhere it was about the fulfillment of the scripture. When Peter, after Judas dropped out, had to put the things in order, he said, it had to be fulfilled. What was said? Let his habitation be desolate, and his bishopric let another take. What did Peter do? He began with the first breath to place the things biblically. What did he do on the day of Pentecost? The same. He said, here it is being fulfilled, what was spoken by the prophet Joel. For thus saith God, in the last days it will happen, then I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. What did Paul do in Acts chapter 13? When the time of the Jews was over and when the time of the Gentiles have come, simply he said, because you do not count yourself worthy of eternal life, therefore we turn to the Gentiles. For thus it is written, I have made you the light of the Gentiles, and for salvation unto the ends of the earth. Isaiah 49, verse 6. Brothers and sisters, dear friends, everything we have until this day, placing it upon the biblical foundation, and about this I'm glad. Do you also believe that Brother Branham was a promised prophet? Then say Amen. And with this we are in the plan of salvation. If it were not him, then we would deal with a pious club, for which it was not enough that many clubs were already here, who would have liked to open one himself. No, in that moment where Bible prophecy is being fulfilled, we are dealing with the working of God according to the plan of salvation. And there everybody has to bow his knees before God and to recognize that by this we stepped upon holy ground, and that the Almighty God, who gave promises, also fulfills them before our eyes. Because look, it is actually like this, whether on the church, whether on Israel, wherever, or also on the bride, no matter for which area prophecy is written in the Bible, it is being fulfilled in every area. If we speak of the last days or read, then the apostles foretold how the general situation would be. The people would be high-minded, proud, boasters. You can all read it, what Paul wrote to Timothy, what he wrote to the Thessalonians, what is written everywhere. All this we can read. If we want to know what happens on Israel, we can also read it. If we want to know what happens on the church, we can also read it. And in the same way is the calling out and the last message, the word of prophecy. All this was really left unto us in the Holy Scriptures, black on white. Did you all understand this? That it was not only a man who made a claim, but that this claim was legitimized by God, justified by the scriptures, and also by divine confirmation. If you can believe this wholeheartedly, then say Amen. I also want to know this, whether you all receive this inwardly. And then I can assure you, whoever can agree with God wholeheartedly and is humble enough to in this way submit under the mighty hand of God, he found grace in the sight of God. And to him the arm of the Lord will be revealed. And as Moses has found grace before God, and the Lord let him know his ways, in the same way it will be now. If I now, sadly or unavoidably, have to come to the last phase, then please forget me, because I belong to them who say out of full conviction, and even I did everything what you commanded me, yet I am and remain an unprofitable servant. For thus the Lord said it, if you did whatever I commanded you, then say, I am an unprofitable servant. If you find somebody who feels well because he was allowed to do something for the Lord, there you can make a big question mark whether he is a true servant of God. Servants of God, to them it will happen like a Moses, an Elijah, and many others, who say over and again, Lord, I don't want, I can't, take somebody else. An Elijah withdrew and said, I'm not better than my fathers, take my life. What was it? It was the divine responsibility. Now you know, on one hand, if we say that the plan of salvation continues, this is a mighty statement. On the other hand, if we could not prove it biblically, then we owe the evidence. I don't want to keep you in suspension for long. You all know, there are at least two scriptures which instantly come into my heart. The one from the prophet Amos, from the Old Testament, in which God announced through prophecy, behold, the days come, I will send a hunger, not for water and not for bread, but a hunger to hear the word of the Lord. Who knows where this is written? You will have it in the circular letter. Do you have it? Maybe I should read it to you, so that you know that it is written, and that we not just say these things. God has also this part, which we now experience by grace. He announced it already in His Word. Amos chapter 8, verse 11. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord God, that I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. And then there is the scripture to which I now come, which to me, in Edmonton, Canada, on a morning, right after getting up, with a loud voice, the words were said to me, as you hear my voice now. A young brother came to me by the name of Don Bablitz on the evening before, on Avenue 137, and he said, Brother Frank, we receive letters from all over the world and we see what God is doing. If you have such a ministry, then it should be somewhere justified in the Bible. And I tell you honestly what I did. I waved aside and I said, keep quiet, and so forth. I do my ministry, but there is no evidence in the Bible for it. and I was finished with him in no time. And I said, it suffices us that we know that God has sent Brother Branham, whose ministry is biblically justified and grounded. And by this, for me on that evening, the matter was finished. And what shall I tell you? Not even 12 hours later, as loud as you hear my voice now, my servant, I have ordained you. According to Matthew 24, verse 45, to give out the food to my people. I know the place, the street, and the day on which it happened. In Matthew 24, verse 45, we read the following words. And also here, I must say in simplicity, what can I for it? I wanted to push away this matter. I wholeheartedly resisted it. And on the next morning, I hear the voice of the Lord. It says, here words are written that I don't deserve. I am not worthy of them. And yet they are written here. Who then is a faithful and wise servant whom his Lord has made ruler over his household, to give them food in due season? What can I for it that this chapter and this verse was loudly said to me? The sun was already shining into the room, and thus it happened. With this, I just want to say, I do that what the Lord commanded me, that with this I can neither please me nor please men. I know that. Sometimes I don't even understand myself, and therefore I do also not expect that all or that others understand me. But now I'm grateful that Brother Werner Sieg has read the word. In burnt offerings and sacrifices, O God, you had no pleasure. Lo, I come to do thy will. This was, of course, prophesied on Jesus Christ, the Son of God. What shall happen with us? Burnt offerings and sacrifices, that what we can offer, this cannot please God. But that what we received from God, this we pass on. I could show you scriptures where the Lord said to his disciples, speak to the people, they shall sit down. And when they sat down, he spoke to them, give ye them to eat. And he broke the bread, and he gave it to them, and they distributed it. Afterwards, 12 baskets were left. Thanks be to God, for each apostle one basket, and it didn't become empty until today. We got the doctrine of the 12 apostles restored. Oh yes, with the same certainty with which I know on my inside that God has sent Brother Branham to reveal the word that was determined for this time, to reveal all the promises and all the counsel of God. With the same certainty, I know that I'm ordained to preach the same word, the same counsel of God, and to give out the spiritual food. Of course, in the days of Brother Branham, I think it was Brother Fehr who told me at the entrance, there are so many side groups and so forth, and he made there a biblical comparison. I don't want to repeat this comparison here, but I told him it applies 100%. There is always only one divine lineage, not two or three. There is always only one single divine lineage, one divine commission, only one divine church, only one word, only one divine plan of salvation. If there is one Moses, and then afterwards one Datan and Korah and all, then to this one divine lineage, it caused harm, yes. But God went on with them who were on his side. And the same we also must do now. We have put the hand to the plow. And I tell you, not because of arrogance, that what is being preached can stand its ground before apostles and prophets. That what is being preached will stand its ground before the living God. It is the pure and absolute truth which God revealed to us and which we may pass and carry on. This is so. And the truth doesn't come from me, it comes from God. It is God's word. We are just carriers. Just look at this miserable man whom God sometimes has used. Who were they? What were they? God was not so much concerned about the vessel, but of the content. You know what I mean. They were earthy vessels. Some people want to have half-gods as preachers, nicely with a halo or with sanctimoniousness. The one likes this and the other likes that. No, God takes whom he wants. He does what he wants. And then he still says, blessed is he who is not offended at me. For sometimes things are happening on which people can be offended, and the Lord tries them, how much the word was worth to them, what the word accomplished in them. The Lord has not done anything to anyone. And yet, when the word was fully revealed, many left him and followed him no more. Paul, the great man of God, had to say, all have left me in the province Asia. No one stood with me in the fight. What was it? It were trials which came upon the man of God, upon the church of the Lord. And we are also not spared of them. Just the contrary, all of hell is furious. Against whom is it furious? Against ecumenism? Against all who go to Rome? Don't you ever believe this? Hell is furious against the church of the living God. And therefore our Lord said in Matthew 16, the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. We can be of good courage. God will in our days finish the work that he started. It began already at the first coming of Christ. It will stop at his return. And all men of God, whoever had a divine commission, they at their time had their part in the plan of salvation and preached the word appointed for their time. We live at the end. We are in the prophetic age. And therefore, the Lord has sent us a prophet by his grace. I am not a prophet, and most certainly I will never be one. I am grateful to God that I did not bring one prophecy in all of my life over my lips. To me was not given the gift of prophecy. To me is given the word of prophecy. And this does not need to be checked anymore. This is purified 7 times. On this we can rely. This is always, thus saith the Lord. There we need no one who still needs to check it. It is already checked. And so, we are grateful that we, right on this day, together with all of you, who you are here, we remember many who in the course of these 20 years have heard the word. I think it was Brother Huber who told me, Brother Frank, since 19 years I come to hear the word. What a testimony. And so we will continue until the Lord comes or until he takes us home. I'm honest. Sometimes I want to leave before the time comes. I would prefer the Lord to take me home with jubilation. I wanted at a time when I was dying on the 1st of January 1981, with jubilation, with joy, I would have liked to go to glory. This was, by the way, a glorious experience, a nice day when I there, with all the saints, with a white-dressed multitude, was taken up. And when I then returned and opened my eyes in the hospital room, oh, how bitterly I wept. I thought I would be with the Lord. But our dear sister from Basel told me here last Sunday, "Brother Frank, we are so grateful that we have you." This I liked. And then she said, "I hope the Lord keeps you until he comes." And I said, "May the Lord grant it. Sometimes it does good to you. You all know, you sometimes need comfort. But most of the comfort need the preachers, the men of God, who stand in the front line, who are attacked from all sides." Now I still have one question. Who actually prays for me? All of you? All pray. Thank you. God bless you. This is the most important for me, that I am supported by your prayers. I don't know who of the brothers, be it Brother Etienne, Brother Barrier, or anybody else. Afterwards, when we will have the Lord's Supper, the things remain here as they are. And after we had some fellowship with one another, we would be glad if some, in 2-3 sentences, could say what these years mean to them and what they received from the Lord by the preaching of the Word. I know it was not in vain. And I would like to say to you once again for your comfort, we, as a little flock here and there, are not at all the total redeemed multitude. We are just a little part. But also this I would like to emphasize. God has used you to make all this possible. What could be done in the course of the years? And I have written already my circular letter, and I hope that you will love me as much as you did until now. But I had the urge to clean up with the past and to be finished with it. There is a time in which one puts up and accepts everything, and then comes also the moment where one says, "Now it is enough." And this moment has now come. But I wrote it there that the most wonderful time with the greatest activity until now were the 10 years from 1968 to 78, when the sermons were broadcast via Radio Luxembourg. I tell you, sometimes I even, at the end of a flight, I just noted down a scripture. The sermons had to be preached, everything under time pressure, and I may say it for the glory of God. Every time when I started, then it didn't stop anymore. You can believe me. I preached 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 sermons without any pause. It was like a stream. I wanted, but I could not stop. Oh yes, the inspiration of the Holy Spirit is something wonderful. One doesn't need to make a concept, not putting things together here and there. One just has to experience it once, how God puts the things together. In the course of the years, I believe we purchased now the 3rd or the 4th printing press. And we have, as I said earlier, we printed 1,200,000 brochures alone in the German and English language. And I don't know how many cassettes we have sent out. This I cannot say at the moment. Perhaps we can find out. In any case, we had two anonymous criminal complaints at the receiver of revenue, and we had a thorough house search, a high visit from Düsseldorf. It was wonderful. And the one question that the one inspector had was, we can understand that you print, but what do you do on a regular basis with 10,000s of cassettes? 10,000 cassettes were bought here and 10,000 cassettes were purchased again. Tell us, what do you do with all these cassettes? Yes, I don't know how many tens of thousands cassettes in the course of the years with the sermons on it were sent out. And the highest man of the government inspector by the name of Dr. So-and-so, he looked through all the translated sermons. Everything had to be examined. And you know whereon his eyes fell? On the picture of Brother Branham. At the beginning of his ministry, he opens the booklet and sees the picture with a cloud and says, Mr. Frank, may I take this booklet with me? I said, you are welcome, and you get even more. And so we had a wonderful time. I may tell it to you already now. The criminal complaints were anonymous. They were actually nasty, and they should hurt us badly. For many things are put into the world, rumors of every kind. Sometimes when I hear them, then I say, Lord, what is this now? But sadly it continues. All right. In any case, both of them said, something like this we have never seen before. You most certainly are not an association. Here not one single flaw was found. And this made us happy. After all, through our accounting books, if one includes the three countries, not to forget the Alsace, I don't know where our brother Kupfer sits, and also our brethren from Belgium, but here, from Central Europe, Germany, Switzerland, Austria, in comparison to them who believe the message, of course also all the others. I don't know precisely how many millions altogether in the course of these years went through our hands. Approximately altogether more than 6 million Deutschmark. If we include francs and shillings and everything what can be counted. And I didn't put one Deutschmark on a private account. So you don't have to worry. I have only one thing on my heart, and this is the matter of God. And now, as this house search was, and they actually wanted to find something, because the criminal complaints were there, and then it was said, nothing was found, not one flaw of any kind. This made us very happy. All of you, who you support the work of God, I would like to thank you really from the bottom of my heart. May the Lord God reward you richly. Most people serve God with their lips and put the money onto their account. The others know how to behave, that they give to the Lord what is His, and thus He blesses beyond asking and beyond understanding. Also this part, I didn't want to have missed it, because without your support, it would not have been possible to do this great work worldwide. And we hope and we believe that God will do even greater things, and that the greatest activity is still before us. One day, the satellite is still on my heart. And if one then from the equator could reach all nations and tongues and peoples. This would be something very wonderful. With God, all things are possible. He said in Matthew 24, verse 14, that the gospel of the kingdom shall be preached unto all nations. Then he also has a way. We simply wait for the time, and then he will give the equipment, the authority, the wisdom. In closing, how often do I want to close here? I may here in closing not forget to extend the heartfelt greetings from all our brothers and sisters from Indonesia, from the Philippines, and from Singapore, mainly these three. And also, this is not a secret. I visited our beloved brother Keller in British Columbia on my flight there, and also they are sending greetings. And then Brother Müller in Austria, he said, Brother Frank, we cannot come, but please greet all from us Austrians. So, I also did it now. But just briefly, these two testimonies. In Manila, a brother rented a huge hall, probably more than 1,000 seats. I really got afraid when I came into this hall. At 5 o'clock, the service should start. And a quarter to five, not one seat was taken. And an Opa brought me there. And I asked, where are the people? And where is the brother who arranged the meeting? I wanted to get a room with 20 seats. But not in a hall of 1,000 people speaking to 10 people. And I got so nervous. What a pity, it was unbelief. Shall I tell you that within half an hour the hall was packed with people? God has given grace. It's other mentalities. We come too early, they come too late, but they come. They come to hear the word of the Lord. It was also nice on Sumatra. There God also blessed in a special way. New doors he opened, especially also in Singapore. There I was reading in the Bible at the airport, in the waiting room, in the English Bible. I like it anyway better than the German. And I wanted to look up certain scriptures. And then a group came in, but they let me read. And when the loudspeaker said, flight number so and so is ready to border, I of course closed my Bible, put it in my handbag, and a brother approaches me with a beard. And he says in the English language, Hallelujah, praise God. And he said, I watched you, you read your Bible. You must be a man of God. I said, I hope so. And during the flight, we came into a conversation. And I tell you, such a flight I didn't have in all my life. Every time when I said something that touched him inwardly, then he lifted up his hands and he said, Hallelujah, praise God. I looked around, but all this didn't help. He said, go on, go on. I said, yes, but you must keep quiet. And then again, Hallelujah, praise God. He was so overwhelmed. He has never heard in his life what God has done. He said, for how long? I said, 24 hours. On the next morning, he fetched the Methodist preacher. It was the only one he could bring. And I had two listeners on the 24th floor, up in the sky. And now God opened doors, really opened doors. There is a hunger among the people, also in the denominations. And I ask you, don't look down on the people. Let us look together up to God. His people are still scattered all over. And so that I don't forget this, somehow I have the impression like there was a time span of 20 years in which Brother Branham ministered. So we had now approximately a time span of 20 years. We have translated almost all sermons. The food is available. And now we can come to the point with the help of the Lord. And I just wait for the smallest sign which he gives. For in my heart I believe God. I don't look on the weakness of my body, but I look to the living God who gave promises and who also fulfills them. And together we want to honor him by faith, remaining faithful, loving one another and serving him. I love to remember to the first time when I came into this country, into Switzerland, the nicest country on earth, and Austria. These two are the two nicest countries and a small part of Czechoslovakia. Everywhere God worked, but here is my heart, and I hope that it will please God one day in this city in which Brother Branham ministered, in which many can still remember him, that it would be this city that God would have chosen to, in the same way, give a supernatural confirmation that still many would come to the faith, becoming obedient and follow and serve the Lord. May his will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We are here to do the will of God. I still want to thank you that you read this word. May it be all our wish. Lord, we have come to do thy will, O God. We have become believers to do thy will. For this reason we are here. May his will be done through all of us. Are you grateful to God? Are you happy for his word? For the revelation of the mysteries of God? For the insight into his counsel? Into all that what he has done? And verily, he will still do great things. Blessed be his name. Amen. We stand up for prayer. Heavenly Father, today the call shall not again go forth from the mouth of a man. Today may you have called under the observation of your word. Faithful Lord, let us experience the time of the apostles in every way fully, that people call out in the midst of the sermon, "Dear brethren, what must we do to be saved?" Faithful God, may you bless this day on all of us. The day on which we remembered some kind of things, what you have done, O Lord. May you keep the words which were read in our hearts, O Lord. Yes, that we ponder on them and that we thank you for them. Faithful God, from the depth of our soul, we thank you for the great privilege that we may overlook the plan of salvation, that it lies before us as a drawing, and that we can read it and understand it, O Lord. Faithful God, you have sent your servants and prophets at all times. You blessed them. You commissioned them that part of the proclamation that was necessary for that time. Lord, sometimes I feel a bit lonely and forsaken, and I wished that a prophet would be in our midst. But Lord, you have led it in such a way, and we are here to give you the glory, that to us all the words of the prophets and apostles were left to us, that we have them, and that the word of prophecy shines unto us as a bright light in a dark place. We thank you for the Old and for the New Testament. We thank you for all the promises, for every prophetic utterance, and do it now, Lord, that we become a part of your plan of salvation, that your words, the words of promise, could also be fulfilled on us. Also, your church is a firm part of your plan of salvation. Your bride makes up the core. Hallelujah. Praise, honor, and glory to your name. Wholeheartedly, I thank you for the ministry of Brother Branham that was biblical, that was prophetic and doctrinal. Lord, I thank you that you have given us in this time the understanding that we may see as he has seen, believing as he believed, baptizing as he baptized in conformity with all the apostles. Lord, you have restored. May now the time of refreshing come, where the latter rain comes upon the seed, bringing it forth unto a new life in a mighty power, O Lord. May the resurrection power of Jesus Christ be manifested in your church, in your bride. I thank you also for all brothers and all sisters. We remember those who are not here today. Faithful God, may you shortly from now speak to them, and may you lead many back to the knowledge of the truth, O Lord, that they walk the narrow way until the end. To you, the living God, we thank you together for that what you do worldwide, in particular for that what you have done on us personally, on our soul. You redeemed us. You have forgiven our guilt. You atoned for our sin, O Lord, and you have given us eternal life. We thank you for it. We praise you. We worship you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. To your wonderful and holy name of Jesus. Amen.